As we dismiss our children, the children's church, those fifth grade and below, I ask that you find your Bible, Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I ask you, if you will, this morning to stand and honor reading God's Word. Luke 24, 13 through 35, they read like this. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together, they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking?" And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here these days?" "What things?" he asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who is a prophet, powerful in action and speech, before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one that was about to be able to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from a group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported and seen that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went up to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." He said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe in all your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Verse 28, "They came near the village where they were going, and He gave the impression that he was going farther, but they urged him, 'Stay with us because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. So they said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?' That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them and that had gathered together and said, 'The Lord has certainly been raised.' And Simon of Peter saw these things. Then they began to describe what had happened to them on the road, how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, I pray, Lord, you speak through this poor, wretched vessel the gospel truth of how Jesus loves each one of us, and he wants for us to be in your word, growing closer to you. In your son, Jesus, precious name I pray. Amen. So kind of before we get started, if you will, to me in the Bible lessons, this was one of the more difficult ones. And I know what your thoughts are is this seems like the easier one. But oftentimes there's so many different directions we could go in reading this text and the things that are being spoken of here in these scriptures as we see in Luke chapter 24. But the focus, as we're going to have Thursday night, is going to be this. That how once we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be in his word. And for us to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be in his word. So big picture, the entire message, focus of this morning, if you get nothing else, I want you to get this. To know Jesus, you must be in his word. You see right here, it says Bullfrog Bob. And above it says
faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That's how our faith grows. That's how our trust in Him grows. That's how our recognition of Him comes to take place. Because all too often we have our mindsets, and I think I know everything. Let me tell you something. No matter how many times you've read, studied God's Word, you'll never come to a point that you know everything. God reveals to you when He's ready to reveal to you. And oftentimes in our lives, sometimes we get frustrated. Why am I not understanding this, Lord? Why am I not getting the big picture? Why are these things not clicking with me? And oftentimes it's because God is carrying you along the road. It may not be to Emmaus, it may be to somewhere else. But He's instructing you, teaching you life lessons, different things in life, carrying you to point to say this: trust. Trust. Be in My Word and grow in My Word, because that's the only way that your faith can grow. And also, when we see that our faith grows by being in God's Word, we come to a better understanding in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which states, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's recap all this. I can say without faith, it is impossible to please God. My faith comes from God's Word. Therefore, I can say, if I'm not in God's Word, I am not pleasing God. Because God wants for us to come to know Him in a closer, intimate, personal relationship with Him. Therefore, if we're not in God's Word, we're missing His instruction. We're missing Him revealing Himself to us. We're missing Him saying through His Word, we call the Bible, this is who I am. This is how much I love you. This is what I want for you to do. This is how I want for you to grow. So in Vacation Bible School Night 5, that's going to be our Bible study, if you will. The Night 5, we're going to see the encounter along the road. And today's message, if you will, we're going to ask the question, how does Jesus encounter us on the road of life? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of same ways. Because the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. He remains the sovereign, same person that He is. And He loves you. So guess what? Now that we've got that out of the way, guess what? DVS starts tonight. Who can tell me what our theme is for the week? Can anybody at all tell me what our theme for VBS is? Anyone? Anyone at all? Let's see you say it together. I tell you what, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, y'all have got a little bit excited about yourself. It sounds like you really yourselves want to get zoomed in and focus on Jesus. Amen? If we're not getting ready to zoom in and focus on Jesus, then you're missing the point. We zoom in and focus on Jesus through His Word. We're given encounter after encounter after encounter, though we're just looking at 5 this week, of Jesus, yes, in the Old Testament, encountering the lives of people to make Himself known. To show to a world that was lost and without hope that you could find hope within Him. That's what the encounter is all about. And this week, again, the key question that we're going to be asking our kids this week, am I ready for an up-close and personal encounter with Jesus? You see, oftentimes we think we can do it without being in God's Word. But if we think we can do it without being in God's Word, we're wrong. We need to be in God's Word, learning and growing. Today we're going to learn of 2 Christ followers making a 7-mile journey who had been in God's Word, but they didn't get the message. You see, there is one thing to read God's Word and say, you know what, I've read God's Word, my Bible study complete for the day, and then just go about my daily life activities, which is something similar to what these men appear to have done, because they read it, they knew it, they were aware of it, but they didn't understand what it would say. They didn't comprehend what God's Word was showing them, revealing them, teaching them. They were missing the point of exactly what God had in store for their life, for the life of all mankind, as we see within our text. So being in God's Word is important. We need to ensure that we're excited about being in God's Word.
that we don't just read it just to check it off. We read it to learn and to grow and to allow it to equip us for whatever life has in store for us. Today, tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, God's preparing you for what's ahead. Until Christ returns, He will continue to prepare you for what tomorrow holds. But if you're not in God's Word, you're not being prepared. Your faith is not growing. Therefore, you are not pleasing God. We need to be in God's Word.
We need to learn and grow in God's Word. For us, in today's society, life has been built around blockbuster movies, thrill rides, and all types of things that everybody's on. And we've brought that into that lifestyle, if you will, into the church. That if life is not sensational, let me tell you something before I move forward.
Jesus said this in John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and you have it in abundance." But let me tell you something. If we try to teach our children that life is not going to be difficult, we're misleading them. Because life is tough, and you know it. If you've lived 1 minute, you know that life is tough. And too often our society teaches that there's not going to be any losers. There's not going to be any hard times. There's not going to be any struggle. And if we're teaching them that, we're misleading the next generation. And we're not preparing them for what life has in store for them. And if we're not sharing with them that Jesus loves them and will help them and be with them through all these things, we're short of double jeopardy. Missing the point of how we need to be showing them that there's hope in the middle of life's struggles. Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. You see, we tell our children, the next generation, if you will, that life is supposed to be fantastic and outstanding and incredible. And we miss telling them that life can sometimes be painful. Life can sometimes let us down. When we don't get what we thought, which is exactly what took place in these two people, they thought they were getting one thing, and then death came to the door of Jesus. And they thought they had lost it all. And Jesus was there to tell them, though He hid Himself from them, "All's not lost. I've overcome death on the earth." He was teaching them about Himself throughout the Old Testament. "I'm in the middle of the story, and I have fulfilled prophecy of who, of what it shared that would take place. That the Messiah had to suffer." You see, they were expecting a king to come in and tear the door down and restore Israel. Well, a king came, but it wasn't what they were expecting. But this king, by the way, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to trust in Him and have faith and surrender to Him as the Lord and Savior. Because He was what they thought. But they expected something different. He was the King of Kings. He was the one who was going to set a rule right. He was going to put things in order. But they thought it was their way. They thought, well, this is the way I think it's going to come out. He's going to come with a sword and he's going to just chop everything up. Well, he'll tell you what, the Bible shares what's his sword? His tongue. His word, which is what we call the Bible. God's word. Jesus is. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God." John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we missed who He was. But praise the Lord, He came. His Word gives us victory over death, over the grave, because of the resurrection that we looked at last week when we looked at the encounter between victory comes." So how do we get overall in this message what's taking place that we're going to apply to our BBS, we're going to apply this morning? How do we get from point A to point B? First of all, I want to share with you, avoiding spending time with Jesus is not an attribute of a Christ follower. Avoiding spending time in God's Word is not an attribute of a Christian. We often seek signs to know Jesus is there, to know where He's at, to where He wants for us to go. We seek these signs. Let me tell you, the Bible is full of people who sought signs. So let me share something with you. Sometimes it's all right to say, I just need you to show me, make sure I'm in your will. But big picture, if we're our motives are central focus and not Christ-centered, then that's where we miss the mark. We need to be looking for what God wants and desires for me. And if we're not in His Word, we will miss the sign. We'll miss the sign. So as we move forward, how does Jesus encounter us on the road of life? Your first fill in the blank. Jesus seeks us. Jesus seeks us. This is because we are missing Him in His Word that we call the Bible. All throughout Old Testament story, God pursues mankind, and mankind rejects. God pursues mankind, and mankind rejects. Man allows sin to come into their lives and to be ruler of their lives. But you know what? God loves us enough not to lose us. Praise the Lord. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. He sought after us. Jesus seeks us. No matter where you're at today, what you've done, where you've been, He is earnestly seeking after you, wanting for you to just listen to His Word. Trust the instructions that are given within the Bible. Follow the commands that He gives for us to be obedient to. This is what the seeking is all about. Isn't it wonderful to know that life is not all about us and that we have a guide? That when we have a life and make a mistake, that Jesus says, no, Greg, this is the way you should go. This is the way you should follow. This is the step. That's the type of seeking He does. He knows where I'm at. He says, Greg, that's not the direction you need to go in. Greg, don't follow after this direction. Greg, that's not good for you, my child. He seeks us to show us direction. That first seeking takes place before we know Christ as Savior. He seeks to share with you, I can live with you. I can restore you to those of your father. I love you. You see, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that God proves His love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He seeks after us in every circumstance, in every situation that we are in. He seeks after us because He wants for us to become a child of Him. Child of the risen Savior. He wants for you to have a personal encounter with Him. You see, in these scriptures, Jesus was seeking to restore fellowship between man and God. Because sin had broken that fellowship. That's the seeking that Jesus was doing. And I want to share with you, I'm not going to exhaustively share everything that might possibly be in these scriptures, but I'm going to share with you three reasons that I think Jesus prevented these men from recognizing Him. Reason number one, He did not want them to recognize Him to begin with. Let me tell you something. We have to take a step of faith. The Bible shares with us that He was tempted in several different ways. And then He was asked the question, if you are the Messiah, save yourself from that cross. Give us a sign that that's who you are. Now these signs that we're trying to prove God, He is 100% man, 100% God, that's when it becomes sinful. Because He doesn't have to prove who He is. Because He is who He says He is. And Jesus, here in our text, He didn't want them to recognize Him. This reveals that they were kept from recognizing this because God had a purpose in blinding their eyes from reality. It wasn't that Jesus was being cruel here. His gradual revelation of Himself allows them to learn certain lessons about trusting God's promises. You see, in life, oftentimes He doesn't reveal Himself right out of the gate because He wants us to grow. He wants us to trust. He wants us to take that step of faith and following after Him. Being whom and what He's instructed for us to be. He wants us to, in faith, come to Him. You see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. The Word of God talks about the message of Christ. That's what, how our faith grows. By knowing Christ more. By trusting and relying upon Him. The disciples, and these two disciples, had been told this multiple times. But they had still not believed. It's still not believed. For growth understanding of Scripture was and is necessary. Jesus wanted them to see what His Word said. And they didn't have that. They were living the New Testament. The Old Testament is what Jesus was instructing. He didn't want them to recognize because He wanted to reveal to them, this is what God's Word says. The second reason I feel is events had not happened as expected. I think Jesus didn't reveal Himself to begin with because things didn't go their way. And He wanted to reveal to them the way that the Scriptures were pointing to. He wanted to give them firm instructions on what God's Word was saying. He wanted them to come to understanding of who He was. They had preconceived an idea of who Jesus was, what He had come to do, and how He should do it. This was their preconceived idea. But when things didn't turn out the way they thought, you know what they did? Was see the text.
They said,
"Must not be
Him." And they started headed away. In all truth, the matter of God's Word is very plain. When we recognize and understand who He is, we will start walking towards Him. They denied it. They couldn't believe it. Resurrection? Really? And they started going away in a different direction. Going home. That must not have been the Messiah. That must not have been who He was. How many times in our own lives have we met Jesus? Have we encountered Jesus? He's wanting to reveal Himself to us. He's wanting for us to grow. And we think, I don't understand that, so I'm not following.
Instead of getting on our knees and seeking God's face and seeing what steps and direction He wants for us to take, I think that's the biggest picture that we often overlook. You see, while God always has a plan, we are not always privy to exactly what God is doing. We just have to, in faith, trust Him and the steps He is leading us in. We don't always know why the struggles in life are there. In that, there's being within this room facing life struggles, life difficulties, and I don't have a reason. Yeah, I'll tell you the reason for it all. But one day, our Savior will be able to share with you. I'll tell you something. Hindsight is always 20/20. Perfect vision. When we look back, I see now why He led us down this path. I see now why I went down this road. I see now why I had to go through this troubling, difficult time. I see now why He wanted to grow me, because I probably wasn't ready. Imagine being an Abraham. God called out of the land of Ur to go to a land that I'll show you. You will be a father of a great nation. It was 25 years before Isaac was born. But Abraham was not ready to be a father. So if you're in the middle of a struggle, and I don't know how long you've been in it, a month, Greg doesn't last for a couple of days, and I'm ready to get up through it. That's our nature. We want to move forward. We want to get past the struggle. We want to be exactly where God wants us to be, but we don't want to have to go through the stuff to be where He wants us to be. Let me share you this truth. All along the way, the story of Abraham and the story of your name. And the story of Greg, I can call your name, but I won't. And the story of your name. God will never leave you and never forsake you. He will help you through every phase of whatever it is you're trying to do. But you in faith must trust Him. You must trust Him. You must rely upon Him. You must allow Him to be Lord of your life. See, they had little faith. They had little faith. Their faith was weak. They heard the reports of the women who went to the tomb. They saw the empty tombs for themselves, yet they did not believe. It was right in front of them. Right in front of them. Do you relate to any of these today? How it's right in front of us. Still missing what God wants to do in our lives. Let me share something. This is not a theological answer all, but I'll promise you one thing. Jesus loves you and He wants to live in through you. He wants you to be a light for Him wherever in your life that you are. It's the question you have to ask yourself. I'm
know Jesus seeks after me, but am I living for him? Am I trusting in him?
Number two in our fill in the blanks. How does Jesus encounter us on the road of life? Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus opens our eyes. Just because they knew about Jesus does not mean that they knew him. Just because they could see him in front of them does not mean that they knew exactly who he was. Many people today know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They've read about him. They use his name. They call on his name. Many claim to know him personally. However, they wouldn't recognize him if he stood in front of them because their eyes are closed. Why?
Because they're not in God's word. Their faith isn't growing. That's not Greg's word. That's God's word. Right there. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the word of God. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But God will open our eyes. But we've got to put forth effort. We need to read his word. Luke chapter 24, verse 27 says this. Then beginning with Moses and all, and from all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scripture. While we don't know the specific passages that Jesus used, we know he opened to them the scripture, showing them how the Old Testament pointed towards him and him being the fulfillment of all the prophecy that's written within the Old Testament. So let's just take this little path. We don't know what he used, but it says he used all scriptures. I want to just pick out a few. Perhaps Jesus began with Genesis 3:15, where God cursed the serpent to say, I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. From there, maybe he moved and pointed towards Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, which says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to him. And from there, maybe he went to Isaiah 7:14, where God says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son. His name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Perhaps Jesus went forward. He went to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised, and we did not value him. Perhaps Jesus went forward, chapter 53, verse 7 of Isaiah. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. Now imagine being the two men on the road. They've been arguing about the Messiah coming. They thought this was him, but he lost his life. What's going on? And we've heard of his resurrection. I don't believe it. But here Jesus starts opening to them, revealing to them what's got to take place as the Old Testament instructions are. Maybe Jesus moved from there to Zechariah 12:10. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem. And they will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for only a child and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. There's no telling what all was said. When you walk 7 miles, you can have a lot of conversation. That's how far it was from Emmaus to Jerusalem. You walk 7 miles, see how much conversation you have. I know most of it's going to be, how much longer until we get there? But Jesus, imagine having Judas walk alongside you. I'll tell you something. Life is a lot longer than 7 miles. Roads are tough. Struggles are difficult. But Jesus promises to open your eyes to a world around you that's lost and headed for hell. And he wants the most important to open your eyes to the one who can save you from hell. To the one that loves you more than any one person, any one thing. Ever love you more. He loved you so much, he gave his life for you. Let me tell you another truth. He loves you enough to save you. He loves you enough not to leave you where you are. He wants you to grow in his word, become more like him. He wants to live God in my separated to different people, separated for his honor, for his glory, not for ours, to bring honor and glory to his name, to show a world around us who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Show a world around us that in the middle of their struggles and difficulties, there's one that gave their life for them. His name is Jesus. To show in the middle of their sad, sinful condition that there's one that will forgive them, restore them to fellowship with God and Almighty God if they will just surrender to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, these two men, they believed that they had not yet received. They believed that it was Jesus was inside, but they had not yet received him. So that's the story that we see, which revealed to us that he did not reveal himself because he wanted to understand this is what God's word says. You've heard about me. You've been taught about me. You've read about me your entire life. I fulfill what was written in the Old Testament scriptures. This is who I am. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus started the process of opening their eyes. But they were still closed at this point. So they arrived at their home. 7 mile journey. Scripture after scripture after scripture, he's opened their eyes, revealed to them what's being taken place, the Messiah, who he is. They're trying to digest all of this thing. This man knows what God's word is saying. I've not even thought it that way. I've not understood that way. I want to talk some more of this man. Let me tell you something. When you're in God's word, if you're truly in God's word, studying God's word, that's exactly what takes place in our lives. We read, we study, we grow, we wow, and we say, I want to know more. I want to read more. I want to study more. But all too often, we're guilty. I've got this to do, I've got this to do, I've got this to do, and I've got this to do because we become busy, burdened under Satan's yoke, and takes us away from God's word. And we're following after the world things instead of God's word. The things that God wants us. And we allow ourselves to become so distracted in life, we miss the truth that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father than to me. But by me. We miss it because we're not truly comprehending, studying, growing God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. We need to understand who He is. We know that Jesus walked Him through the entirety of the Old Testament text about the things that prophesied about Him because God's Word says it right here in the New Testament. And that's what He did. He was showing them how it gave witness to who He was, why He had come, and why it was necessary. Jesus paid it all. Because we couldn't. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't work ourselves into growing to know God's word more. We have to be intentional. We have to be disciplined in growing in God's word. Number three, in your film of life. How does Jesus encounter us on the road of life? Jesus reveals himself. Jesus reveals himself. The two followers invited the stranger to spend the night, like I shared with you, which we know to be Jesus. Jesus accepted the offer, yet he maintained his cover in order to complete the lesson that he had begun teaching them on the road as they traveled that 7 miles. According to Luke 24:16, their eyes were prevented from recognizing who Jesus was. They were missing exactly who he was. He revealed his identity only after explaining the things concerning himself in the scriptures. You see, we'll see that in Luke 24:27. Now here's a truth that we must not overlook in our text. The disciples had been staring at the face of Jesus the entire walk, the entire talk. Now they're sitting with him breaking bread and they're about to eat a meal. They've seen him face to face. They've seen him before, but he's not. They don't recognize him. They were prevented. And the reason that they were prevented is because Jesus had to help them bury their faulty expectations of who the Messiah is going to be. You see, too often in our life, even today, we think this is what Jesus is. This is what Jesus is all about. This is what I say Jesus is. This is who I say Jesus is. When we don't even pick up God's word to see who Jesus says that he is. So we see that these disciples, as in the conversation that took place in our text, Jesus had to allow them to come to a conclusion that they had been having wrong ideas of who Jesus was. They had faulty ideas, faulty expectations of who Jesus was. And Jesus says, no, that's not who I am. In fact, look at me, my child. Because Scripture doesn't say that he says that. But it says, then they looked at him. And they recognized exactly who he was. Once their eyes were opened to the reality and implications of the resurrection, Jesus became visible to their physical eyes. The Greek phrase, I'm going to say this as best I can, says this, ophthalmos dianoigo epigenoisko. I'm going to say it with confidence, that's what it's there. But the Greek phrase translated, their eyes were open and they recognized him, it literally means this, their eyes were completely open and they came to fully comprehend who he was. You see, they moved from believing that Jesus came, believing that Jesus was the Messiah, but they saw Jesus die, therefore their faith was struck. And they thought they had lost him. But then they saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right directly in front of them. And then they knew and they fully comprehended him. They moved from believing Jesus to receiving Jesus. In other words, they surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings of their life. That's what it means when Jesus reveals himself to you. When Jesus reveals himself to us. This action was more than a mere recognition of his physical features. This is a recognition of who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. So as we get ready to close, get ready for song of invitation, let me ask you a few questions. Do you know Jesus this morning? That's the first question I want to ask. Do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered to him as Lord of your life? Second question I want to ask you is this. Do you know that he walks and talks with you, desiring for you to recognize what he has done for you? Do you know that he walks and talks with you, and do you recognize his presence within your life? Can you testify about his presence within your life? Can you say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I was along this path and I was struggling, I was falling deep in my sin, but I met Jesus and he changed my life. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that I know that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords and I surrender to him as my Lord and Savior? And this is the last question I want to ask you. Does your life reveal that? Does your life reveal that? Are you following? Are you pursuing after him because he first pursued after you? The answer is yes or no. It's not vague. I want to ask you one last thing. If not, the Bible says this to those who do not know Jesus Christ. It says this in Romans 10, 19. That you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. With the heart that believes in righteousness, the mouth confession is made of salvation. The gift is there for the taking. Will you take it this morning? Christian, I've got one word for you. Do you know that Jesus says, my followers will love me and love others, and will obey my commandments? Are you studying God's word? Is not self, not you-centered. It's Christ-centered. Is that plan in your life being lived out? Are you following after him and saying, you know what? I know that all mankind's God's plan is to grow his kingdom, to be a light, and be living, Jesus living it through them. I know that, so but I've got a head start. I know we all are the person of Christ. There's hands, three eyes, your name. There's 206 bones. That's a hot body box. Who is you? One of those hearts. If one heart struts, the whole body struts.
word.
Well, we dismiss. Real quick, like Penny says, she's got the t-shirts in the back for those who ordered them. If you did not order a t-shirt, if you'd like to get one, she does have some extras. So once she gets those handed out to those who ordered them, check with her and see if she's got the size that you want.
All right, I'm going to ask everyone to please be seated. I'm going to ask the deacons and trustees to come join me at the front, please.